And on KBRB, it's time now for our open line program, and we are joined by Ainsworth Community Schools Superintendent Dale Hafer. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How's it going today?
It is the fastest 4 hours you'll ever spend being behind the mic here on a busy day pre-Valentine's.
Yeah.
And time just flies by.
I heard you say that when I was driving down, heard you and Angie talking, and I thought to myself, you know, my little 20 minutes to a half hour that I spend down here once a month seems like 2 minutes. So, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yep,
so
for
it's
sure.
Fast and furious.
Yes,
bet.
Sir.
All right. Well, we've got some, got obviously some reporting to do for the board meeting last night, but quickly here, I'll do a little rundown, just some updates from the building and mainly from the activity side from the desk of Mr. Robleski. Got Stewart tonight. Over in Stewart, we're playing basketball. So we've got middle school boys starting at 3:15. Then we've got varsity and JV boys and varsity girls starting at 4:30. And so things are winding down for basketball. But anyway, so that'll be a good matchup tonight. Thursday, we have our middle school girls wrestling meet here at home and at 5 o'clock. Friday, boys wrestling's headed for Elm Creek for districts.
Districts, yeah.
You betcha. And so that'll start at 2 o'clock at the D2 district in Elm Creek. And then we also are hosting Windside for varsity and JV boys and then just varsity girls basketball starting at 5 at McAndrew Gymnasium on Friday.
Looks like maybe the girls will be at Niobrara potentially for sub-districts next week, the way things look.
That's the way it's looking.
And we'll probably play North Central the way it looks.
Drive right on past and head on up to
Niobrara.
You guys
both get to go a little farther east. And
yeah,
a nice facility there at Niobrara. We've been there a couple times here lately over NVC tournament. So that looks like where the girls will be. Boys, yet to be determined. We know they're going east somewhere.
Yeah,
that'll be there for sub-districts.
Well, so. And I kind of think that sub-district stuff is kind of wide open, you know. I mean, and we'll see how that goes. Hopefully our girls will keep improving like they have, and best of luck to them.
Congratulations, Megan Jones, qualifying for state for the Ainsworth girls, a district champion. So
district champ.
And next week.
Caught Coach Pollock in the hallway yesterday morning, and he was very excited about her draw in the state bracket. And so sometimes, you know, you just, depending on how that shakes out, you can either have it's tough no matter what. It's state wrestling. However, she's got a good draw, very good chance for success. So we're really rooting for her. Also, too, Saturday, district wrestling for boys at Elm Creek. It's day two of that. And then varsity speech is at North Platte, starting at 8 a.m. And then Monday the 16th, we've got some middle school boys basketball, and that's at Burwell at 6 o'clock. And then Tuesday starts the state wrestling tournament for the girls. And I know Mr. Dyke's heading down to cover that, and him and Mr. Robleski will probably pass each other on the highway as they switch off, and Luke heads to cover the hopefully boy qualifiers that we get down there. So, lots of going on there. Wanted to make mention of some things from Mrs. Sleater's desk. Again, she wants to remind everybody scholarship applications are picking up. Just, you know, if you've got a senior, please be visiting with them and checking their email often. It's very much worth their time to be filling out those applications, and lots of support out there for students these days for whatever type of post-secondary ed they're headed for, whether it's tech school or four-year, et cetera. Lots of support out there, so take advantage of it. Also, you've got, and Mrs. Leader has visited about the FAFSA, and that's a graduation requirement that the legislature handed down to us in recent years. So you either need to complete the FAFSA or complete an opt-out form. Any questions there, just contact Mrs. Sleater. And I wanted to also remind folks, you know, that We did, if you've been following things a little bit, we did make some minor adjustments to the school handbook regarding attendance. Mainly it's just some things with how we count and we code some things and working with provider notes and that kind of stuff. And it can be confusing. And the reason it can be confusing is because we really are working hard to, we don't want a black and white attendance system, because you could have five kids who've missed a fair amount of school, and they could all have five unique situations and needs and et cetera. And so we're there to work with folks, and if we need to meet and go through things, we certainly will. But I think we're off to a good start this semester with that and working through some things. So that's kind of it for most of the updates there, and we can jump into from the board meeting last night. We kicked off last night with, we did have a work session of the board. We advertised a work session because we needed to have folks from our Buildings and Grounds Committee, Transportation Buildings and Grounds, and then also our Athletics and Activities Committee. And there's some overlap there with the people who are on those, but it means there's four of them. So it was going to be a quorum of the board. So we advertised that ahead of time. And what we wanted to do or needed to do was discuss the possibility of replacing our wrestling mats that are up in the loft. And I'm trying to remember exactly what Coach Graff told us last night, but those mats have been around a day or two. I think one of them was refinished the last time in about 97 and the other one in around 2000 or so. But they're at the end of their life. It starts to become a safety issue, you know, et cetera. So we're working with, I know Jake's working close with the booster club, but also the wrestling boosters, to get some numbers related to what mats may cost. And what we were doing last night, we actually walked over and went up into the loft to check it out, to that how we can maybe extend, you know, the, if you've been up there, the that nice tile rubberized flooring that's in the weight portion, we want to maybe extend that out so that it will secure those mats in place, so they're not shifting around as you have, besides just wrestling, you maybe have kids running back and forth on them, you know, whether it is during wrestling practice or perhaps a PE activity or whatever. There's a lot that goes on up there. So we're in the process of getting pricing, what's this really look like, and then that way the board can consider, you know, the what perhaps the boosters are asking them to provide in terms of support. But my guess is if they all decide to move forward with it, it would probably be kind of an equal partnership sort of thing, where between boosters and the board, you know, going thirds or finding a way to you know, each group invest in that and make that nicer up there for our kids.
Well, that always works nice, having it not fall solely on the burden of the of the school and the, you know, the school's budget, but not solely asking the booster club through donations and other things they're fundraising to shoulder the entire cost. So really a nice partnership.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're lucky the support we get from the boosters. You know, not only our main booster club, but wrestling boosters have done a lot too for the wrestling program over the years, and that is much appreciated. And so, and I know the board appreciates that, and mainly for the board, it's just about, okay, well, what are we really asking for, and what do we really need to do here, and so just being specific about that so that we can be transparent with what we're deciding to or considering on spending. So that was our work session, and then we rolled into our regular meeting right at about 7, and we excused Brad Wilkins. He was absent last night, needed to be gone, and so Vice President Doak was leading the meeting, and rolled into basically just some simple agenda items like we normally do. I won't go through like the principal's report and AD's report and all that. And my report, just remind folks that, you know, on our website, if you go to the school board tab and you find that public meetings access, you can see all those reports and all those documents if you'd like to read through them. There's some good stuff in there. I know both Mrs. Reeson and Mr. Dyke shared a number of things, like with student performance, and there's some attendance data and some stuff in there too related to that. And of course, Mr. Robleski's report, he's given the play-by-play of what's going on, but also recognizing kids who have, you know, have had some success lately, like Megan Jones, who just qualified for state for girls wrestling. And then as we shifted into the action items, Ben Anderjaski from the Nebraska Association of School Boards was present, made the quick jaunt up from Lincoln to join us last night in person to present the board with their strategic plan documents. And for those that have been tuned in and involved with that, of course, we've been working, you know, the entire first semester on realizing a revised and refreshed plan. I'll just say in general, very pleased with that process. You know, if we could rewind, of course, it'd be nice to have even more stakeholder input and participation and all that. But all in all, when you listen to Ben talk, they're like on about the 12th or 13th district they've done this for this year. They've got several more they're working with this semester. Our percentages of like survey return and number of folks involved, even though we might have felt like, man, we maybe wanted a few more people at that meeting or whatever, for the size we are, representatively, they felt it went really, really well for Ainsworth.
Well, and the thing with that is, as part of this plan, everybody, you know, if you followed the school at all, you've known this plan has been being updated for the last numerous months, and there's been numerous chances for not only patrons, but for students, for staff, for all of those folks to get involved in the process. Right. So there should be nothing that's a surprise. If you wanted to be involved, you had numerous chances. And so that's the nice thing. And from a board perspective, and for you from a budgeting perspective, it also gives you nice things to look at, to like, hey, here's what our folks want. Here's how we can get there. And here's what we need to plan so that we can, and not just have these things fall on us.
That's an excellent point. And so, you know, as they presented the documents to us, and we're going to have these things posted for everybody on our website. But in addition, and some of it is, they've really done a good job this time around. Back in, you know, 5 years ago when we had the first strategic plan, when I came on board, that we realized, you know, kind of after COVID there, that thing was 101 pages long, and it was an awesome document and very thorough, but it is confusing. It's hard to, whether you were a teacher or a parent or just an interested community member, hard to dig in and be like, okay, what are they really working on here? This one, you know, it's streamlined down to about 14 pages. Now, there's still plenty of info there. You'll see there's a data addendum that's 60-some pages. If you want to see all the data and what people said and where it came from, it's going to be there. But in a nutshell, we ended up with the following guiding principles for focus. One was personnel effectiveness, which meant us having a more clearly and deliberate ability to onboard new staff, professional development, supportive teachers, alignment with efforts. So really including our staff in those efforts and supporting them to help them be more effective. That's just kind of in general. And then also, and it was no surprise to me, family and community partnerships. We heard a lot, you know, from patrons about them wanting to be involved and know more about some of the things we're doing. And the nature of the beast where we're at, there's a lot of people who are already involved and in with some of the typical things. And it's more, okay, how can we be more deliberate about, you know, engaging families and community partners more often and strategically, you know, as part of the plan, not just, you know, the typical. And so there's some really exciting things that are happening there. So expanding some of those opportunities and then having the board more involved in an advocacy role there as a liaisons between the families and partners in our district. And then the other was district resources. And mainly that was just how are we, you know, specifically and strategically aligning our resources to meet these goals and what our patrons are saying. And just like you mentioned, Greg, and you know, it all comes down to budget. You know, that could be number of staff. It could be updating classrooms. It could be maintaining a certain program or whatever it is. Or, you know, it's all that gets budgeted for and costs money. But, you know, we keeping folks involved and being strategic in what we're doing there is going to be good. So be looking for that. The other good thing, too, with this service, you're going to see there's going to be we'll have some nice little flyers and, you know, for lack of a better term, brochure type things or stuff that as a parent, you know, I'm interested, but I'm maybe not interested in a 65 page data document. And I get that. But here's this cool little brochure that, oh, this is what my school's working on and why. And more importantly, how can I stay on top of it or be involved with it? And so it's going to be good stuff. So the board approved that plan formally. They adopted it. We worked on the school calendar. There were some questions on there because next year's calendar, it's unique, especially with March because Easter falls in March.
Mm-hmm.
So we typically, you know, alternate the spring break between girls and boys, state basketball. We hate to, like, change that. Because I know families depend on that, and some people, they may have plans already for next spring break down the road. But the moral of the story too, there's nothing in April in terms of, there's a long stretch in there just because of how things shake down. So with advisement of the board, we're going to have an in-service day in April, which I suggested that. I'm like, we can always use, we kind of get short on those towards the end of the year where we could definitely use maybe a little teacher work time coupled with some, maybe a half day in-service training stuff that relates to whatever we got going on. We have a number of things we're looking at, like new curricular resources right now. There's plenty to do, and deliberately giving staff the time to do that will be important, and it'll be a day off for kids. So we tabled the calendar. We're going to bring a couple updates and look at a couple things, and then
so it would be spring break and Easter break falling in March, and then then just trying to break it up with a work day in April. Then.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, that's kind of where they're looking. And we talked about moving that winter break day in February. It's always the Friday of state wrestling, but again, that's something that's traditional here, and we don't want to get in the way of, you know, things that our folks are used to and accustomed to and appreciate. And it's just a little simple adjustment, so it makes kind of an off year work a little better. Policy review, we're in the 800 section. We're basically through that now, and so we're getting close to getting through the periodic review of all of our board policies, which is good. For the most part, 90% of them, they're just reviewed, but we have, you know, pulled several to revise. Last night was no big deal with them, and the review was approved, but we'll keep working at that. And that was part of strategic planning efforts too, was, you know, keeping our policies up to date. But not everybody is super excited about board policy. However,
until there's a policy that affects them, and then they want to know a lot about board policy.
And there were questions last time around about, well, what's our process and how do I go about this? And when do I see these things? And that's when the board was like, okay, this needs to be on our agenda every month so that we, in the process of how it works and when we do consider things. And so, It's there. So if someone's interested and anybody ever has questions, I'm happy to visit with them. Always glad to have a cup of coffee and talk policy with someone else besides myself and the board policy committee. It's exciting stuff. And then some exciting news. You know, we've had I've got some good updates with our vacancies and hiring efforts. First of all, we were able to hire Lori Hawkes, who is a SPED teacher who will be joining us from Colombe, South Dakota, is relocating to our area. But Lori brings quite a bit of experience, and especially her expertise is working with challenging students with IEPs, more life skills type application. And part of what we're doing there, too, is as Mr. Steinhauser retires, there's not the ability to just go grab another school psychologist and plug and play like Scott's done for us. However, we're working on some things in order to shift some of Scott's coordinator duties and other things that admins will help with, but also Geraldine is working on things as well to support us with the ESU. But Scott has been very hands-on with a lot of our SPED kiddos, and so that's where Lori comes in. And so adding her to to our SPED staff is going to be helpful. And then in addition, we did offer another contract to another SPED teacher, which will, fully round out our needs. That person has not accepted yet. I've got my fingers crossed, but the moral of the story is things are looking good. And I know that there's been, some of our staff, perhaps some parents that are a little apprehensive on, well, what are we doing with Mr. Steinhauser going out the door? Because it's not hard to understand that those are some big shoes to fill, but we're getting it figured out. And Scott's, and especially Geraldine too, have been awesome at helping get all this organized. And then last but not least, I'm sure people are aware and followed that, Mr. Dyke is stepping away and basically going to retire, or is kind of looking for next steps. And, as things have transitioned for him and Amy, and their kids are now different places. When Steve came here, he maybe had a grandbaby. I don't think he did, but in the last 8 years, now he's got four of them. So they're excited for their next steps. And we're going to miss Steve. He's done a lot for us. So that meant we needed to hire a high school principal. And we had about six people apply. We chose to interview four. We had four very solid interviews. We had an interview committee of myself, Mrs. Reeson, Mr. Steinhauser, and Frank Beal, a representative off the board. But then also we had a teacher group that helped us with engaging the candidates. And we had about nine folks there. And it was a team effort to go through and take these folks through a process that took, we did two candidates in the morning on Saturday and two in the afternoon this last weekend. Not an easy decision, because a lot of them brought some great qualities, but in the end we were all united and excited to offer the position to Corey Frederick. And Corey is currently teaching in our middle school, and he's new to us this year, but he comes to us with about 6 years principal experience. And if you've had a chance to meet Mr. Frederick, I have no doubt you've come away thinking, you've been pleased. He's got a real knack for relationships, and he's done a great job of not only partnering with as a colleague with our staff, but also most importantly has some great relationships with our kids. And so he's very much set up to step right into that role, and we look forward to working with him, for the remainder of the school year here and making his transition to our next 7-12 building leader a good one. And so that pretty much wrapped it up for the February regular board meeting.
All right. Well, appreciate the time, Dale. Thanks as always. And where I couldn't get to that meeting last night, really appreciate the details so that folks around the area know what's happening in those meetings. Try to not miss those, but wasn't able to avoid it last night. So thank you so much.
Absolutely.
For coming in and providing such detail in those updates. So always good to know what's going on.
You bet. You're most welcome.
All right. That is our open line edition on KBRB. We're going to send you folks on your way and get you ready for the rest of the day.